around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your place of business, your podcast, riding down the car, wherever that you might be. It's a great joy to join with you today and to share from the Word of Almighty God. Well, today's July the 2nd, Tuesday, July the 2nd, 2019. My, this year is flying by so quickly, and it's just hard to believe how quick time is passing by. And I know it's not only me, but it's those of you listening that you sense and you feel the same thing taking place. And let me remind each of us to be thankful this 4th of July, our day of independence. So many people have sacrificed through the years, and there's a genuine loss of appreciation for Memorial Day, for Veterans Day, July the 4th. I've watched, I'm sure some of you have watched Waters World, and he was asking a question the other day during Memorial Day. He said, did America win the war, or what was the name of the war in Vietnam? Gave them the name Vietnam, the Vietnam War, and they didn't know what it was, young people. And I thought, what a tragedy. It shows you that our institutions, our schools are not teaching history. If you don't know history, you don't know the truth. And that is so, so sad, needless to say. Just like with Martin Luther King, in the 88 or 90, when Senator Helms, Jesse Helms, was running against Harvey Gantt for the United States senatorial seat here in North Carolina, I was privileged to fly with him across North Carolina as he was campaigning, running for that senatorial seat. And I'll never forget, on the plane, it was a very personal friend of mine that was paying all the expenses to commute him across the state of North Carolina. And he brought up the subject of Martin Luther King. And he told me himself, he said, I've listened to every FBI tape on Martin Luther King. He said he was the greatest adulterer that ever walked in shoe leather. And I said, are you serious? He said, Reverend, he always called me Reverend. He said, Reverend, he said, I've listened to every FBI tape. And then so we just saw a few weeks back where this came out in the news. It'll be open to the public in 2027. But he shared all the details, how that they would mic the motel rooms before Martin Luther King would get to his destination. They would bug the rooms, mic the rooms. He said, I listened to every FBI tape. He said, he's the most appalling man I've ever seen in my life that would deem himself a minister of righteousness. These are the things that's going on behind the world, behind the scenes. And we don't see them many times. And I felt very privileged 35 years ago to know the truth about Mr. King and his lifestyle. I could go into other things that Senator Helms showed me, photos, documents. Why I was privileged to see some of those things, I don't know. Maybe it was so that in a time like this, there could be a verification, an authentication. No, I didn't hear the tapes. I didn't see the tapes. I saw other documentation of other things, photos of other things. But the point is, our people are deceived, and they just don't know the truth about so much in our world today. But there's one thing I do know. I do know that Jesus Christ has made a change in my heart. He's made a change in my life. When Christ comes into anyone's life, without a doubt, there is a tremendous eternal change in you, your makeup, your chemistry. The Spirit of God changes everything about you from head to toe. Your desires, your will, the things you used to want to do, you don't want to do them anymore. Things that you did not want to do, now you want to do them. Pray, fast, cry out to God, study His Word, bathing your mind in the Word of Almighty God. Amen. Well, we started a new series yesterday entitled The Depravity of Man. The Depravity of Man. We're going to pick that back up today, but before we do, I want to play a beautiful song by The Cathedral. Simply says, He made a change in me. Well, that's true. If He made a change in me, He can certainly make a change in you. Isn't that wonderful? The power of redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a change Christ makes in the life of everyone who submits themselves to Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. I do want to remind you of the DVDs of the conference Age of Deception. They're now available. They'll bless your heart and life immensely. For a love gift of $50 postage paid, You'll get the 10 DVDs, the personal interviews I did with the speakers. They will bless your heart. They will bless you immensely. Again, we're not into making money. We're just covering the expenses. 10 DVDs, the album, the production, all the time that's going in there. That is one heck of a deal. And you should afford or allow yourself to have these DVDs. They'll bless your heart and life immensely. And also, I want to remind you, those of you who listen to us on WWCR, I need to know who's hearing us. Are you listening to us on WWCR? Are you hearing us only on Saturday nights? I need to hear from you because we want to be a very good steward over what God places in the hands of the voice of evangelism. We don't like to waste money. If we're not seeing results, we always move on and do another direction. And God is faithful, but we must be faithful on our part too. So if you're listening to us on WWCR, drop us a note, shoot us an email, tell us when, what time, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Saturday night, that you're hearing the voice of evangelism. We do make the CDs available. The CDs are available for every program. And those of you who support the voice of evangelism, who don't have internet, who don't have an iPhone or cell phone or whatever, and have to listen to us through shortwave, we do have the DVDs available, excuse me, CDs available. If you're listening to us on shortwave and you support the ministry, we'll send you the CDs free of charge. Those who support the ministry and don't use the internet or don't have any way of hearing the program except through the shortwave itself, radio, then we will afford you those CDs. We send them out to all of those who want them and who support the ministry. If you don't support the ministry, a love gift of $75 for us to cover all the monthly CDs and the postage and all of those things that go with that. Yesterday, we started out with the depravity of man. We're going to pick that back up today. The depravity of man. As I said yesterday, many times people don't like to hear the truth, the brunt, the full force of truth. It can be offensive. It can be crass. It can be very grueling. But we live in a generation and in a day that pushes every evil thing. But if you mention Christianity, the blood of Jesus Christ, you mention repentance, redemption, there's an outcry about Christianity trying to be forced upon a sinful, vile, and wicked world. The truth is, the world is trying to force its ideologies, not convictions. They're trying to force their ideologies, their mindset on Christianity. Yo, Buttigieg, God is a God of love. Sir, God loathes sodomy. It is a sin. This is the problem with Christianity today. That is a depraved human being. Oh, Pete, he's a depraved human being. He's a sodomite, openly vowed sodomite. His husband was on television the other day. That's the most, you know, if I was a minister and I'm talking to a man, I should be saying, will you take your wedded wife? But he would want me to say, do you take your wedded husband? Isn't it cynical? Obviously, old Pete there plays the role of the woman. And his boyfriend, or whatever the mess that is, he calls him his husband. It's the most asinine stuff I've ever seen. And with this Equality Act that you're seeing trying to be pushed through Congress, is negative on Christianity. It's an assault against Christianity. And this is why we felt led to start this series on the depravity of man, murdering children. I read the other day an article. A child was born. You ready for this? The child weighed 8.6 ounces, the size of a large apple. It has lived. It has survived. And now it's like 12, 15 pounds. It's done left the hospital. It grew. There was life there. I think it was around 21, 22 weeks old. 8.6 ounces, not 8.6 pounds, 8.6 ounces. It just barely weighed over a half a pound. Think of that. And it lived. It lived. That shows you how much life is in that fetus that they say is just a glob of flesh. Man is holy and completely depraved, and sin makes men insane. Sin makes men insane. And what you're witnessing is the spirit of madness that Deuteronomy 28 speaks of, insanity, bizarre mindset, and bizarre thinking. It is wholly warped in every sense of the word. Man, in his fallen nature, is a criminal before divine law. He is a vile man, is a repulsive object in the eyes of God. As I shared yesterday, we have no idea of the holiness, the hallowedness, the righteousness of God. Man cannot get his head around the righteousness of God. And our humanity in the presence of God is a stinking, rotten stench in the nostrils of God. You say, Pastor, that's just so cruel. That is so condescending. That is so demeaning. That's as though you're castigating us. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Can you imagine old Pete and the presence of a holy God with his lifestyle? But see, a man of that nature, the Bible deems them a reprobate. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These people think they're wise, but the Bible says they're fools. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. We're supposed to be joined and married to the body of Christ. So they change the truth of God, and they worship and they serve the creature. Man is a creature. Man today has more affection, more love toward the creature than the Creator. Why does he do that? Because of his depravity. His depravity drives him to do that which is insane, that which the Bible deems as madness. It's madness. Man is a stench in the nostrils of God. There are two inseparable effects of sin: pollution and guilt. Pollution. We talk about pollution in the world. We talk about guilt. What does the Bible have to say about pollution? 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. How do we escape the pollutions of the world? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How does man escape the sin of pollution or the pollutions of sin? The degradation, the debasedness of sin. How does man escape that? Through the knowledge, and just take the root word there, knowledge, the knowing, coming to know Jesus Christ, Peter says, as Lord and as Savior. That means you're saved. If you know Jesus as your Savior, that means you're saved. Now that's about as elementary as I can make it. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means you're saved. You don't have to do anything else to be saved. Nothing. Look up the word Savior. I know some of you don't like my simplicity sometimes. You deem it unorthodox. But you, like a lot of preachers, you complicate, you convolute, you twist the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. After you have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the acknowledgement you are God. Second acknowledgement is you are Savior. You are my Savior, you save my soul from sin. So how do I escape the pollutions of the world? Is by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, because I have a knowledge of Christ. But Peter said, but if you again are entangled or overcome in the sins, the dregs, the wickedness of the world, he says, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, Buttigieg says he's a Christian. He certainly doesn't believe that Christ would be a conservative Christian. Well, I got news for you. Christ does not embrace sodomy. Christ does not embrace abortion and murder. Abortion does not begin at conception in a mother's womb. Let me rephrase that. Abortion is the murder of a child. The conception of that child does not begin in its mother's womb. You said that's exactly when it begins. No. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. So in God's mind, God had already conceived David Lankford. Before my mother and my father biologically came together with an egg and with a sperm cell, God said, I already knew you. Now, there's nobody but God can do things like that or say things or make that kind of a statement. You mean, before I ever came into existence, God knew me? That's right. Before Jeremiah ever came out of his mother's womb, God said, I've ordained you a prophet to the nations. I've already touched your life. I'm not going to get into predestination and election here. But God says, I've already preordained your life. Now, I will say this. God has preordained and predetermined your life already. Your objective is to come into alignment with what God has already ordained. See, I was running from God. I was fighting God. I was toiling. I was toiling in sin. I was reveling in sin. I was rebellious in my sin. I was estranged from God in my sin. And I can assure you, my latter end, had I died in my sins, would have been far worse than my beginning before I came to know Christ as my Savior at the age of 12. Let me say this today. I want to help some of you because some of you are stuck like Chuck. At 12 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ. I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I never got water baptized till I was 23 years of age. Now, I backslid. But you can't tell me I wasn't saved. God is not a hard taskmaster. I read an article just the other day relative to D-Day about a gentleman that was captured by the Japanese, put into a prison concentration camp, a war camp. They beat them. It was as bad as the Holocaust nearly. But look at this. Somehow, God had touched a Japanese soldier to watch over these prisoners, these American soldiers. You know what this Japanese soldier did? He gave one of those men a Bible. One of those men a Bible. That man said, I didn't know God. I didn't really believe in God. But he said, while I was in that war concentration camp, I began to read the Bible, and he stumbled on Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I won't upset you here. Don't tell me that man was not saved in that concentration camp because he wasn't water baptized. Do you think they actually had baptismal services in a war concentration camp? You got to be realistic about this stuff. You have to be pragmatic about these issues. And that's what's going out the door, pragmatism and wisdom. Don't tell me I wasn't saved at 12. Don't tell me I didn't receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost when I was nothing but a lad. Don't tell me that. Don't dare tell me that. And don't tell me after I came back that I wasn't either. You see, if we don't walk in the Spirit, if we don't get into the Word of God, even though we are saved, we still have an element of deprivation in us. The depravity is there. You got to keep that depravity dead and buried and crucified. This is the problem with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One says, I'm of Paul. One says, I'm of Apollos. One says, I'm of Cephas. Paul said, is Christ divided? These were carnal Christians. Now, I'm not the judge. There's things I see. There's things you see. There's things I see all the time. I question without doubt the validity, the authenticity of who and what they say they are. But I'm telling you, Paul made it very clear. He said, some of you people, you are just mere carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. Carnally minded. To be carnally minded, Paul said, is death. You say, but I'm a Christian washed in the blood. Yes. But you're still incarcerated. You are still held captive to this clay jar. That's the problem. The spirit and the flesh. The spirit and the flesh. Do you expect me to believe that the Apostle Peter was not saved? But yet he curses, he swears, and he lies? I don't know Jesus. Now you think about that. Jesus prayed all night and ordained 12 men to be disciples. Judas was a betrayer. Peter's a cussing, lying, swearing apostle. Think of that. That was still his nature and his depravity. You say, well, he wasn't saved. Sure, he was saved. He just backslid. You know why? He lived out the doctrine, whether you want to call it the doctrine of confession or the doctrine of denial. What's the doctrine of confession? Matthew 10, 32, 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny also before my Father which is in heaven. Peter refuted the doctrine of confession. He denied it. I don't know Jesus. The young lady said, your speech betrayeth thee. He said, no, I don't. And he curses. He curses. Why? He's mad. He's mad because he's been indicted. That carnal nature came up. That depravity that all of us still possesses. We all possess it. You may sit there and say, I don't possess it. You're lying. You're lying. It's there. You have to keep it buried. You have to stay buried in Jesus Christ. You have to mortify the deeds of the body. You know, people, I sometimes laugh. Pastor Lankford, you don't understand. Pastor Lankford, you've never been through anything. Pastor Lankford, you don't know anything about sin. That's why I preach like I preach, because I know all about sin. I know all about it. I know what it means to lie, cheat, steal. I could name off a litany of all the sins, all of them, all of them. I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of them. But the point is, I know. If you haven't already gotten the newsletter, you'll get it. The Uncertainty of America. And I said in that newsletter, the reason I preach, the reason I teach like I do is because I, number one, was a backslider. Number two, I come from a broken home and a broken family that was marred by the power of Satan and sin. Marred and scarred, as ugly as hell itself. People say, you're a little hard sometimes. If you knew what I knew, been where I had been, you would understand my fervency, my intention, my purpose. I'm not a waffle preacher. I'm either on or I'm off. When I was a sinner, I was a sinner, a raunchy, rancid, randy, filthy sinner. That's what I was. I got saved. You won't catch me lying and cheating and maligning and doing dishonest things. I can't stand shady stuff. I loathe it. I despise shadiness. Don't start that shady stuff with me. Don't parse your words and do things. That's not the spirit of Christ. Christ said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let it be yes or no. I don't need a 95 thesis, a 100-page documentation. Did you steal that dollar? Yes or no? Depends on what the word is means. You remember that statement from old Slick Willie? See, that's the depravity. When you see a man make a statement of that magnitude with a two-letter word, is, you see the depravity of man. You see a Jeffrey Dahmer behead, dismember, put bodies in vats, barrels of acid. ISIS beheading people. You look at that and you say, how despicable, how grotesque. If it weren't for God, you'd see more of that in America. The only reason America is still where it is today is because of the salt and the light through the church that's still in the earth. You would have no idea. You would have no idea of the gravity and the power of sin if God took the Holy Spirit, if God took the church out. How ugly, how bad it would get. That's why right before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, God does take out the church. But I'm telling you today, when I see, you have all these Hollywood actors and actresses, taking God's name in vain. God this, God that, Trump, or whatever. That's the depravity. That's the depravity. That's the moral rot and decay in a man's life. We don't understand it. Not in its fullness. A married man sees a woman, lust in his heart. They get together. They have an extramarital affair. He comes back home. He pretends he's got as much fidelity as he ever had. But he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a cheat. He's depraved. Or vice versa. If it's a woman, same scenario. It's amazing. The depravity. And you see, this world pollutes you. You've heard me say this through the years. Anything is at its greatest strength in its purest form. Now, I'm not a chemist, but you can take a 16-ounce glass of water and drop one cube of salt. You know how little a cube of salt is? Drop that in that water. You know what you have now? You have salt water. Now, you can't taste it. It's so minuscule. But it's not water anymore. It's salt water now. I remember in high school, you ever took a salt shaker and balanced it on a cube of salt? We'd do stuff like that. Yeah, I was crazy in high school. I did all sorts of crazy stuff. You don't have pure water anymore. It's now salt water. This is what's happened to the preaching of the word. This is what's happening to the purity of the Holy Spirit of God. We've contaminated it with sin. There's sin in the church. Sin in the church. We don't want to say anything about it. Don't talk about people in the church who commit adultery. Man, that's my biggest tithe payer. I can't preach against his adultery. He'll leave the church. He'll take his money. Take his money and leave if he don't want to repent and get right with God. Well, no, we don't want to do that. See, you're compromising now. Your depravity is now being manifest in your compromise. Now, you say, oh, not me. No, not me. Yes, you too. That depravity comes out because it is the sin nature that's in the man. And if that man is trusting in God, he says, if the man quits tithing and leaves my church, so be it. God will supply, God will meet my need, because I'm standing for righteousness. I will not be compromised. I will not be polluted because of money. There are so many things that pollute humanity. I read an article this morning. I was blown away. There's a 47% rise and gonorrhea with people over 65 years of age. 47% rise in gonorrhea. No wonder Jesus said it's a wicked and adulterous generation. Yeah, I'll be 65 years old my birthday. I can't imagine contracting syphilis or gonorrhea. But a 47% rise. When I see these things, when I read these things, when I hear these things, I'm like, oh God, you have to be appalled. The holy God that you are, the righteous God that you are, the just God that you are, this must be so appalling to you. And it never stops. It never stops. Look at the streets of Los Angeles right now. The feces, the needles, the drugs, the homelessness, the filth, the debasedness, the degradation, the debauchery. Look at it. This, what you're seeing is an outward manifestation of sin. This is all sin. Sin. Yet, how many preachers preach against sin? The world contaminates us. The world pollutes us. Peter said the pollutions of the world. And then I said we had guilt. Man stands guilty before God. There's none righteous. No, not one. James said this in James chapter 2, verse 10. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." Do you understand that? If you're trying to live under the auspices of the Mosaic law, which you cannot, if you could, they would have done it. They could not. The law was the schoolmaster until grace came to us. Acts chapter 15, Peter was upset. He says, "Why are you trying to put this yoke? Why are you trying to put this burden on these Gentiles to keep the Mosaic law, which you know none of us were able to keep it? We all failed. Every one of us," Peter said, "every one of us failed in trying to keep the law. That's why God gave us grace. Grace. Because what the law could not do in that it was weak, God sent his son, Jesus," Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 3. God sent his son. The law could not redeem you. All the law says to a man is, you're guilty, 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 guilty. I said it before, I'll say it again. Read the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and see if you find anything there that talks about redemption and reconciliation back to God. See if you find it. It's not there. Law is demanding. Grace is too. But grace has enveloped in it mercy. Now, God's always shown mercy, but there's no mercy under the law. That's why you've heard the term prayer for judgment. Yeah, I've asked for that in court myself. Some of you have too. You're asking, bend the law, break the law, give me a break. That's why the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery. And what does the law say, Jesus, we have to do to this woman? Jesus knew what the law said, stone her to death. By the way, they didn't bother to bring the man that was committing adultery. They just brought the woman. Jesus demonstrated grace and mercy. He said, "Let him without sin cast the first stone." And they all being convinced or convicted of their conscience, they dropped their rocks, they turned and they walked away. Jesus said to the woman, "Where are thine accusers?" She said, "I have none." He said, "Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go on now. But don't sin no more. Stop the sin. Stop the depravity. When you're depraved, you are void, you are empty, you're without something. You are without something. That something is Jesus Christ in your life. Where there is sin, there is a stain. You know, cold water, if you get blood on a garment, you want to get it in cold water as quickly as you can. There's something about cold water that breaks it down where it doesn't leave an indelible stain. Well, man is depraved. This is why the Bible talks about washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. I looked up that word the other day, washed, and in the Greek there in Revelation 7:14, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have made their robes white because they've washed them in the blood of the Lamb. That word washed in the Greek says they've laundered and now they're ready for use. It's like laundering a shirt, ironing it, pressing it, putting it in the closet, and you get up on Monday morning, you get the suit out, and you get that newly laundered, pressed shirt that's been detailed for use. When you wash your robes, your garments, and the blood of the Lamb, you've laundered them, and now you are of use and service to the Lord. See? But don't ever think that element of depravity is not there. You will never escape until you're redeemed physically. Until you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you will always have that negative effect in your life of depravity because of your sin nature. My prayer is all of you are saved. Just because you're saved does not exempt you from temptation. When Jesus told the disciples, Satan hath nothing in me. In other words, there's nothing in me that Satan can appeal to cause me to sin and fall by the wayside. Can man say that? Can men declare that? Can men decree that? No. There's something in all of us that Satan can appeal to get you to sin. Something. Isaiah 1 and 18. Let me show you the stain. Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Your sin is like a crimson stain on a beautiful white garment. And now it is soiled. It is sullied. It is tainted. It is stained with sin. Sin. But again in Revelation 7:14, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have made their robes white. Why? Because they've washed them in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual washing. I can take a shower five times a day. That does not cleanse my flesh. If you think water cleanses your flesh, you are badly mistaken. You can soak in water 24/7. When you get up, your flesh is still contaminated. It's good to take a bath. It's good to take a shower. It's good to use soap. That does not cleanse you from sin, though. What cleanses me? The blood of the Lamb. Now, after you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you keep yourself clean by bathing your mind, by bathing your spirit, by bathing your soul in this, the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that they might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. I keep myself scrubbed up. I keep myself cleaned up. I keep myself washed in the Word of God. Keep the pollutions, the contamination out of my life. Keep it out. Psalms 119 verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, you're in the world, you're not of the world. But because you're in the world has the propensity, the proclivity to soil or stain or sully your garment. It'll taint you. How do I keep from getting that way? You got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the Spirit. Just because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that depravity, that deprivation is not taken out. It's not taken away. It's still there. Because the soul and the spirit has been soiled and stained by sin. And that's why you have to keep yourself in the love of God. There's things we have to do. Every child of God must strive to keep their flesh and their spirit cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at two Bible verses. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, the blood eradicates and cleanses all sin, not water. As I said, all of you listening to me have taken hundreds and thousands of baths and showers and soap. That didn't do anything. Oh, it might have got the mud, the dirt off your flesh, the epithelia, the scales, but it didn't cleanse you from sin, because that sin nature is always there. Every day you're confronted with, well, am I not going to do it, or am I going to do it? Every day we're confronted with that. So let's go back to 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, notice the word if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from sin. Verse 9, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how do I eradicate, how do I remove that sin? I have to admit I sinned. There's not a time that I don't pray. I say, God, forgive me of my sins. In the event, I say things like a bad feeling, a bad thought, an evil emotion. God, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that. Why? I am held hostage to this old clay jar. This old clay jar still has issues. Now, you may not want to admit that. You may not want to believe that. But, you know, I've seen men that I thought on the exterior were men of profuse and profound integrity. But then later on, I come to find out they didn't have what I thought they had. Why? Because I saw things in their lives that were misleading, misrepresenting the truth, not doing what they said they would do. Nobody's perfect. Don't misunderstand me. Nobody's perfect. But if I tell you something, I'm going to do this for you, and I don't do it, say what you want to, you lied to me, or I lied to you. If I tell you I'm going to help you with your mechanical bill, and the mechanical bill comes due, and you say, Pastor, are you going to help me with the mechanical bill like you said you were? And I say, no, I just lied. Now, you may not say that's a lie. I say that's a lie. Don't say you're going to do something and not do it. That's lying. That's dishonest. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. That's why it's important to be slow to speak. Don't say something. Think about it before you commit, before you sign the dotted line, before you make any kind of commitment. Think about it. Can I keep my word? Can I do this? You see, this is Satan's modus operandi. He wants to get you in a place that you're compromised, and you say, you know, I really want to do that, but I can't because it may hurt me. It may affect how somebody thinks about me being associated with that person or this person. At the end of the day, it's called compromise. And I've never seen such verbal manipulation as I see in the world today. You've heard me use this analogy. We're going to cut deficit spending from $1.20 to $1.10. Sir, you're still deficit spending. Well, it's not as much, but you're still deficit spending. You see how skewed that is? To quit deficit spending, if you take in a dollar, you can't spend no more than a dollar. But if you take in a dollar and you still spend $1.05, you're still deficit spending. You're spinning the words. You're talking heads. Yak. Liars, cheat, dishonest. I've never seen anything beat it in all my life. I hear it all the time. You don't know who to believe anymore. That's why I am a Bible preacher. Get Pastor Lankford out of the way. What does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? That's the final authority. That is the adjudication of all men, is the Scriptures, the Word of God. Not theology, not ideology, not denominationalism, not churchanity, but the Word of God. Churches are full of error. And then when God raises up somebody to tell them, hey, that's wrong, they come after them and they try to assassinate them. God has men that are going to tell you the truth. Satan has his ministers also. They're going to tell you a lie. They have an agenda. I see it all the time. You see it all the time. And it's sad. At the end of the day, it's about money. Money. That's why we don't ask for it. The day the money quits coming in, I will sign off. And I will go home and I will retire. And I'll be done. If this ministry is not viable and worth supporting, fine. I'm not going to sit here and beg every program for money. I'm not going to listen to anybody that does the same thing either. And I'm surely not going to use chicanery. You know, there's 1,000 people listening to me today, and God says, send $300. That's gimmickry. Show me that in the scriptures. I'll give you Bible, Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. But I'm not going to use gimmickry, because see, that's the depravity of man. Gimmickry is not from God. God doesn't have gimmicks. God does not have trickery. God does not even have showmanship. God is God. God is not depraved. God is not depraved in any way. It is man that has sinned. It is man that has grieved the Holy Spirit of God. It is man that is depraved. All of us have an element of depravity in us, whether we want to admit it or not. You may sit there and be sanctimonious, say, not me. That's why we have a battle as a Christian. We're fighting that carnal, Adamic nature, that depravity. We're fighting it. We're fighting it. And it's a great, great, great battle. But it is a battle that can be won, and we can be victorious. Because all through the book of Revelation, it talks about overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:21. Overcoming. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. I hope you're going to get a lot out of this teaching series relative to the depravity of man. Again, let me hear from you. If you're hearing us on WWCR, I need to hear from you, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Saturday night. And also, the DVDs are available. Get yours for a love gift of just $50. The Age of Deception Conference videos are available. Make sure you get your copy today. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Celebrate the 4th. Thank God for the liberty He's given America.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.